August 22nd, 2001. Jackson Ayers took no small pleasure in being a pain in the ass. Initially, he agreed that Collins could be interviewed before his testimony, so long as the meeting took place in Atlanta and the PA's office paid Jackson's plane fare down there. Then it turned out that Collins had returned to town to deal with Erno's estate. But, Jackson said, his client had now decided he would speak only after having first been sworn to God to tell the truth. Muriel had the option of reconvening a grand jury to continue investigating the 4th of July massacre, because there was no statute of limitations on murder, and she preferred that to a deposition. That way she could examine Collins without Arthur looking over her shoulder or leaking the parts of the testimony he liked, and she'd also avoid violating her office's policy against granting immunity in a civil case. Even Jackson favored the grand jury, since by law Collins' testimony would remain secret. On August 22nd, Collins arrived in the anteroom outside the grand jury chamber. He was in the same dark, stylish suit he'd worn to his uncle's funeral. In his hand was a Bible, encircled by a chain of wooden beads holding a large cross. Along with Ayers, Collins' big blonde-haired wife was beside him. Muriel presented the form immunity order, which Jackson read word for word, as if he hadn't seen it dozens of times before. Then Muriel opened the door to the grand jury room. Jackson tried to enter with them, knowing full well that his presence was prohibited. Only the witness, the prosecutor, the court reporter, and the grand jurors were allowed inside. "Got to be present," said Ayers. "No choice about that." After another half hour of negotiation, they agreed Collins would be sworn, and his testimony then suspended. A recorded interview would take place at Jackson's law office this afternoon, with the tape supplied to the grand jury later. When they were all assembled in Ayers' large inner office, and the tape recorder was rolling and tested, Collins looked to Ayers and asked, "Can I talk now?" "Let the lady ask you a question, why don't you?" said Jackson. "This isn't drama class. You don't give a soliloquy." "There's only one thing worth saying," Collins answered. "Which is?" asked Muriel. "My Uncle Erno killed those folks, and Gandalf was no part of it." She asked how Collins was so sure. "Because, may Jesus forgive me, I was there to see him do it. You all can ask what you like, but first off, I'd like to tell you how I know it." He would anyway. Muriel knew that much. She told him to suit himself. Collins took a moment to smooth his jacket. "Me and Uncle Erno walked a long road. May never have been on the face of the earth two men who hated each other more than we did sometimes. I think it was because we were the best the other had. I was all he had that might be like a child, and he was as near as I had to any kind of father, and it wasn't either one of us who thought he'd got especially good deal. Here I am, black to everybody who sees me, and his long-nosed hunky, what he really wanted is for me to carry on just like him, and how was I ever gonna do that?" Collins looked down to the cross and the Bible in his lap. "I couldn't have been more than 13, 14 years old. I was on the streets doing the dumb stuff I did, selling crack cocaine mostly and smoking it too. And my uncle, he made like he was the police. He loved to do that. Come pull me out of those hell holes, tell me I was wasting my life. First adult conviction was in 87. Erno got me in the honor farm, and when I came out, you know, I really meant to do good. If you mind yourself, they wipe the slate clean for you. Erno and my ma sent me to Hungary, get away from the influences, and I took my own self to Africa. When I came home, I asked my uncle for help getting into the travel business. In 1988, that was the happiest Erno ever was with me. I did all that stuff he was forever telling me I had to do. I went to school and I studied. I passed my travel agent's exam. I got a job at Time to Travel and made the scene at work every morning. I walked past the brothers on the street I'd kicked with like I didn't know them, and, oh, man, it was hard. I was working and working. I didn't have money. 20-some years old and back to living with my ma. I finally said to him, Uncle Erno, I can't make it, man. I tried and tried, but it just isn't going to work out. Erno could see I was headed for backsliding, and he was pretty much desperate. At one point, he had some idea that he'd shift airline business to me. One crazy notion after another. And that's how the ticket stuff started. First off, he pretended like these were just tickets that had gotten lost somehow. How stupid was that? I figured to go down on that real soon. Larry cleared his throat. Mind if I ask you where the tickets came from? Back then, said Collins, tickets were just starting to come out of a computer. The printers never worked. Jammed, wrote on the wrong lines. Half the time, agents still issued tickets by hand and then ran them through that validating machine with their die. If you made a mistake writing up a ticket, you voided it and put the number on an error report. These tickets Erno gave me, they were blank, validated hand tickets, listed on the error report so nobody was looking for them. The airlines keep telling me, said Larry, that sooner or later somebody flying on those tickets would get caught. Probably so, said Collins, but wasn't anyone that ever flew on those tickets. I turned those tickets in to cover the cost of other tickets. Collins bent forward to see if Starcheck was satisfied, then went back to his story. Even so, I guess I felt like I was still on Erno's string. Went overseas on vacation and scored in Amsterdam and just fell in with the drugs again. And I got taken down this time. Erno quit on me. I was in medium security in Jensenville, and he didn't come visit once. I didn't really see how bad off I was until I got out in 1990. I only knew two things, really, slang and dope and travel agent, and black and white in my mind, if the truth be told, and I couldn't do either. One more narcotics conviction, I was XXX and gone for life. And I'd lost my travel license when I got convicted in 89. Should have just moved, but young folks, you know how it is. Figured I'd beat the system. Called myself Pharaoh Cole. Faked the degree information and sat the license exam all over again. Ah, said Muriel. Collins responded with a rueful little smile.